school and welcome everyone. Thank you for coming along with staff. want to go ahead and do introductions?
Sure.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. John Paul Soto, council member.
Oh, Alicon, council staff.
Liz Stem, council staff.
Jim Cust, Fushanti, work group member.
David Jordan, council staff and work group co-chair.
Yes.
Along with JP.
Thank you. If we could go ahead and review and approve the agenda for today. Basically pretty straightforward, reviewing the data that came out from the last couple months of your work, the team's work, and then to develop recommendations.
Yeah.
So good?
Yep.
No objections?
Right. No objections. Approval approved without objection. If we go ahead and look at the minutes, it was another small group. I looked these over earlier and they were fine to me.
I've looked at them also
before.
I think they're accurate.
Same.
Cool. We can go ahead and approve without objection. Awesome. Cool. Any announcements? Okay, cool. Public comment. We have public here. All right, let's get right into
the mission counts.
Mission brings treats over. Let's go ahead and jump right into the data.
Yeah, so we've got two pieces here, and then I've got one thing I'm going to go over sort of verbally. So we've got, looks like you guys were sort of looking through the qualitative data when I came in. Maybe we'll start with the prioritization. Just quickly take a look at that and see if there's anything that really jumped out at us that we feel like we need to address. The San Francisco, this is, I assume this is the everyone?
Mm-hmm. The one that says EMA.
Real straightforward. It's kind of exactly what we expect to see. With housing higher than usual, which seems very reasonable given the circumstance. Mental health significantly lower, which is a little counterintuitive given in the survey how common mental health challenges were among the people that I interviewed, that we interviewed. Psychosocial support also a little low given some of what they had to say.
I'm actually surprised housing isn't higher on the, I mean lower, like on the more of a priority, just because typically that happens.
It's true, although I feel like housing is often right there in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
And in these, it's a little higher than
That's
usual.
True.
There are some that are a little higher than usual.
Generally, we see primary medical, food, mental health sort of at the top as a,
mm-hmm.
as a clump. And things like financial assistance, legal services, and housing, and psychosocial support right down in the middle, with a slight reordering from previous years. But nothing crazy or unexpected, I don't think.
Hmm.
What do you guys think?
Dental's a little bit, not shocking, but they got pretty high numbers.
Yeah, well, in the qualitative data, a lot of people had things to say about the desire for additional dental or
right.
challenges with impacted dental services. The San Mateo one is a real outlier. the legal services by far. But again, it's important to remember in the San Mateo and the Marin ones, those numbers are very low. So, especially the Marin. So a swing of, you know, essentially one person valuing legal services can really push that number way over the top. With primary care being sort of high middle of the pack, which is pretty unusual. Again, and it's also important to note that San Mateo and Marin don't actually have some of these services, or they don't have them in the same way that we have them, wherein they are getting essentially their core services at one or one of two public health clinics, and then their other wraparound services are essentially just provided by one CBO in both cases.
I remember legal services being a big one in the COLA in San Mateo, like a year ago or something. You all did too.
I think that
seemed like maybe the same person was talking about legal support.
It's actually not the same person, but I think part of it is the same challenge, and it's around immigration, which makes sense given that they have a higher percentage of Latino, potentially undocumented Latinos. Anything else we need to go over with this before we move on? All right, so let's go ahead and quickly go through the graphs here. There were a few things that jumped out at me. A little bit better response from youth this time than previous. And a little more parity across Caucasian, African American, Latino. That other category largely represents people who are those. I think one person had something, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was their own personal thing. I don't know what it was. But there was the other three, I believe, were Native American.
Is this off of the people that actually filled out these forms?
Yeah.
And this actually is that plus the groups?
Yeah, so the dot, yeah. Yes.
I'll just look at the numbers. So there's 74 on this one.
There were 74 participants total. What did we get out of the San Francisco EMA? What was our total number? Do we have a? We'll have to add that.
Okay.
But not everybody answered every survey question, so you're going to see some questions have more. Some of them were if you answered yes in this question, provide an answer for this one, otherwise leave it blank. So some of those questions are going to have as few as like 30 people answering them, or 30 in the 30s.
Oh, cool. I just actually saw here where it says people that answered and people skipped. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
So age, race, gender, pretty standard.
Female just needs an L instead of an I. I think it's just a little typo, just for the presentation. That's an I.
Oh.
Okay.
That is an I. More heterosexual than usual.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I'm not surprised given some of the people you saw, actually.
Oh, that's true.
Specifically the HAPA program.
Yeah, I mean, I think both for the forensic housing program and I think that because we didn't focus primarily on, our focus was not specific to HIV stuff in general all the time, that we ended up getting some people that were HIV positive but not necessarily part of the HIV community, which I think skews more towards queer and homosexual in general.
Mm-hmm.
Engaged in medical care, continues to be very high. This is very, like, year over year is what we tend to see on that question. Similar to when was the last time we saw your medical care provider, continues to be high. This one, overwhelmingly seeing people at Ward 86 with smatterings of, you know, here and there. So the question number 9 is what we tend to see, again, very high. Question number 10, though, is a little bit of an outlier from previous years. We're seeing a lot more no and don't know. Generally, that number, are you virally undetectable, tends to be up there well over 70%, especially since our people engaged in antiretroviral therapy is over 90. So this, I think, points towards challenges with med adherence and or, you know,
resistance or,
yeah.
Or
yeah,
even having current labs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense given some of those groups of you.
Yeah,
you
I mean,
especially emergency housing.
Yeah, I mean, some of this is common sense, but still worth looking at. I think that's probably worth cross-tabbing some of those questions along demographic lines to figure out if we're seeing if that's happening more within youth, more within a specific population. You'll see later there's a question that sort of differentiates between homeless and just unstably housed. And maybe we'll see a noticeable change there. Hepatitis, most obviously. Comorbidity question with cancer. These other down here included things like strokes. We saw a couple people who had strokes, multiple strokes, some of them. And a lot of the things like neuropathy and that kind of stuff, which are pretty common. Are you receiving medical insurance? Is very high, which is expected, covered California. The Medicare question, I don't know. I feel like some people checked Medicare because they weren't sure if it was Medi-Cal or Medicare. I clearly should have changed that covered California to Medi-Cal. In the future, I will not make that mistake, hopefully. A few don't know, which is interesting. I guess 6 people didn't know where their insurance was coming from. I'm always surprised that that's not higher, personally. But, I don't know.
Or at least it's not a priority. Maybe it's taken care of for them and with their social worker or whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be like a thing that they're worried about not knowing, you know?
Yeah, well, in talking to people, it often feels like they are... That piece of it is sort of invisible to them.
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm surprised that more people are like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
I did, going through these, have oftentimes with the Healthy San Francisco, some of these got through. I don't think there's that many people actually on Healthy San Francisco. I think people checked it because they were like, that just sounded familiar.
Yep.
Or they confused it for a San Francisco health plan.
Absolutely. I think people interchange that all the time, a lot of clients.
So there were a lot of people when I was going through them one-on-one where I would look at their survey and be like, do you actually mean Healthy San Francisco? And have the conversation with them, and it turned out they were actually on Medi-Cal, to the best of their understanding.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing about people that have their benefits attached to their income. It's kind of invisible to them. And they're not really even sure which one they have, but they know that they have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they might not even really think of it as insurance or just medical coverage.
Yeah. Yeah. So Then, do you feel supported in accessing medical insurance? That's a little, the no responses are a little higher than previous years. There was definitely some conversation around challenges around with navigation in general, not just for benefits, but for other services. Primary source of income, SSDI and SSI, number one, although a lot of people on GA.
Mm-hmm.
Much more than usual. Like, we're almost 20% of people getting GA. And those people are making probably $200 a month to live on, which is clearly not very much. Here it's going to show as under 500, but I think that generally GA, people getting GA is around $200.
If they're housed, they get 466.
Okay. I think a lot of them, I think if we cross-tab who's getting GA and who is actually homeless, we're probably going to see a lot of the actually homeless people are getting GA, though. Because it's seen, in looking at these things, because I entered them all by hand into SurveyMonkey over the course of a few days, and it seemed like there was probably a correlation between the sort of chaotic lifestyle situation with things like being only accessing GA, which suggests to me that part of that is either, and there was also a component of people who had who were undocumented also only getting GA, but it seemed like there was a component of and we'll discuss earlier, people felt like they services were being vetted by their level of sort of proactivity in actually like getting like filing for SSI more than once, or you know, getting all their paperwork together, and potentially people who are less stable were less likely to have SSI or SSDI.
That makes sense.
So. Best described living situation. So here's where we sort of get into the meat of this. So we're looking at about 32% are identify as truly homeless currently, with another 22% in emergency and stabilization housing. So if you take those two together, that is a large percentage of the people we looked at here.
It's over half.
Yeah. And then things like living in SRO weekly, family or friends not paying rent. And of the people who are homeless, it's like couch surfing and sleeping outdoors are almost tied, are exactly tied. Living in the structure not meant for habitation was next one. Although I do question whether some people, I feel like some people checked, like living in an SRO on this question here, and then checked living in a structure not meant for habitation on this one, because their SRO does not have heat or water or bathroom or kitchen facilities.
Yeah.
So,
right.
A little bit of gray area, though. Sex for shelter question, really high. People responding to that. I was very surprised by how high this number was going through. Like, just as I was entering them in, they were pretty consistent, so.
Yeah. And it's also have you ever, so not necessarily recent.
Right.
Sure.
But, yeah, that is high.
And, you know, again, cross-tab that by demographic and see if that shows us anything interesting. I did not have time to do this yesterday afternoon. I sort of ran out of time. We just finished our data collection last Friday. So, so how long have you been homeless? A lot of people, more than a year.
That'd be another interesting one to cross-tab with this answer. parents are here too.
Yeah. If not currently homeless, when was the last time? A lot of people were saying more than a year ago. And, you know, that counts for both people in stabilization, housing, and people who are, you know, living in SROs or whatever. I think for some people, because a lot of, probably the single biggest source of participants we got was for the forensic housing program. So for a lot of these people, that more than a year ago is also going to include the period of incarceration before going into that housing. So they may have been homeless before being incarcerated and then sort of don't consider being incarcerated homeless and then going into stable into the forensic housing project. So that's my sense of where some of this number comes from. A lot of people, 37% of people who are not homeless do not have kitchen facilities, which I think is significant and of importance when sort of discussing food services.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, because I always wonder this, with the folks that are at the Kinney under the, both programs there, which way they answered on this, because they do have the kitchen accessible during Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, but it's not accessible after hours and on weekends. So I'm wondering if they may have marked no or yes, and what made them mark which one.
Yeah, I don't know. Unfortunately, those are not broken out as like a... I don't have a way of telling, because this is all supposed to be anonymous.
Oh, this is that's right. This isn't the group.
So...
But that's something to keep in mind, because when we reported to Social Security, we reported as non-cooking facility.
As non-cooking facility.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that... I think that a lot of people who, you know, maybe have a shared kitchen situation in their, like, supportive housing also may be reported as not having cooking.
Because
facilities.
it's not in their immediate space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if they don't have... And, you know, also being able to store food in your room, I think is a big... issue for people in general.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't like using the common area.
No, that's exactly true.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
And so they're like, yeah, it's not, I don't have it
because
I'm not using it.
Yeah.
If I'm not using it, then I should get the money for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's pertinent to things like, you know, if you're getting open hands, you know, if you're getting frozen meals, you can't keep them frozen unless you know, if you don't have food storage ability. And similar things with like fresh fruit. And then also if you're getting things like pasta and dry beans, which they give out a lot of, you have no way to prepare, you know, dry beans. I mean, I know from personal experience a lot of times people get dry beans in their stuff and leave them behind before even leaving 7:30 Polk.
Or do bean art with it.
Yeah. all right, moving on. County, as expected, mostly San Francisco. We had two people lived in Alameda. If I remember correctly, I remember doing the interview for one of those people, and they like live in a car, and sort of are all over the place, but primarily in Alameda County. But come to San Francisco for services. I don't know the specifics of the other one. Similarly, most people in the Tenderloin run up as South of Market Mission. That's pertinent to one of the pieces of qualitative data that I'll go over in just a little while. Most people paying 30%, which is a real standard number, although there are some people paying as high as 60%, which is, my sense is those probably are the people who are paying for a non-supportive housing SRO weekly. a lot of people in shelter and transitional housing. These numbers are not always going to jive. I think some people are, like, I think people checked yes, or people checked yes or no on this, and it's not always consistent with what maybe how they answered a previous question about where they're living. But and if you look at the next question, you got more than a year, more than 3 years, more than 5 years. If you combine all of those, you got the bulk of people having been dealing with homeless instability for years. Really high incarceration numbers, higher than usual. Usually this runs about 50-50 in other populations we've looked at. This is significantly higher. Also not unexpected. But a lot of them, the bulk is more than 5 years ago. And I think it'll be interesting to break this number down by demographic and see. My sense is that some of the younger people have been are the ones being incarcerated early, more recently. Have you experienced mental health challenges, and have you received mental health care? So about 10% more people experiencing mental health challenges than are accessing mental health services. This one's interesting. 28% of respondents have accessed inpatient treatment services primarily for housing purposes, which is, does not rule out the idea of them being interested in substance abuse services or mental health services, but self-medication, really high number under self-medicating. Also high number of people describing themselves as mental health services or have been problem with substance use, but slightly higher number of people have received substance use treatment. So there are people who don't identify as having a challenge but are still accessing substance use programs. That might mean that they access services in the past and currently do not have substance use challenges. Who knows? Support system. This all makes sense to me. On both sides, under trusted source of information and support system, service providers very high under source of information, which is standard. Some of these others are higher than usual. Higher than usual, none. People saying they have no sources of information, no sources of support. Support group higher in these on both of these situations than usual also, which is confusing to me that psychosocial was listed so low in the prioritization. But again, I think psychosocial as a category is challenging for people to grasp. Yep. It is really consistently the one that in home health services that we consistently have to explain to people multiple times. And slightly higher than normal responses under the people not feeling like their services have been culturally appropriate. And there's, under the qualitative stuff, there's some feedback around that, which I will go over now. Any thoughts about the quantitative stuff before we move on?
So you're going to pull out a few cross... You're going to do some additional demographic things? Okay, cool. Because I would be... I think for me, like, the thing that would be really interesting to see who's the most... Like, who is chronically homeless? You know what I mean? I think that would be a really interesting chart to bring out. Like, out of the demographic information, like, who are the people that have been homeless longest?
Yeah.
Just to see who's not being... Who needs to be served in that way.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. All right, so I have a small amount of notes still to be transcribed that are not factored into this piece here, but this is largely what I'm seeing trend-wise, large issues that are being reported by multiple people across groups and individual interviews. So big one is, as we discussed, most of the people we spoke to